Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, May 27th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. We had a lot of wrestling this week and the last few days, so we got a lot to talk about in today's episode. Before we get started, wanted to mention it is Memorial Day, so you know, thoughts out there to anyone who has passed serving their country. I have nothing but the utmost respect for the people who put their lives on the line for our freedom. So want to obviously, you know, send my respects and my thoughts and well wishes and everything to anybody who has served, anybody who has lost their life, all the family members of the true heroes out there in the world. Once again, allowing themselves to be so selfless to put themselves and their own lives on the line so I can sit around in my living room talking about pro wrestling freely. You know what I mean? So wanted to obviously dedicate the show today to all of them. And let's go ahead and get started on the topics and jump into it, because as I mentioned, we got a ton of stuff to talk about today. We got results for GCW Take a Picture and GCW Paranoid. We got AIW Gauntlet for the Gold. Had two House of Glory shows, that is HOG, Hog. We had The War Within and Glory of War. We had TWE, Sink or Swim, Action Wrestling's Noonan Fight Club, Glory Pro Ascend Episode 37, NXT Level Up, and NWA Power. I'm going to wrap up today's show also with some Ring of Honor Honor Club spoilers, so I'll make sure to give you all the timestamps underneath the audio. So if you're here on FightfulSelect.com listening to this, just go underneath the audio in the little description box. I'll let you know when those Ring of Honor spoilers are starting with a little timestamp. But since they're at the end of the show, it'll be easy for y'all, because if you don't want to hear them, you can just cut the show off and go on about the rest of your day or night or whenever you listen to this. So as I mentioned, a lot of results and some spoilers to wrap the show up. Before we get started on the topics, I also wanted to mention, this is somewhat of a spoiler alert. It's public on social media. People who follow the promotion are aware of this, but I have put off talking about a pretty big title change the last few weeks because I didn't know when it was going to air, and it still hasn't. But at this point, I got to talk about it because it's a big title change. So this is kind of a spoiler for an independent wrestling show, for an independent wrestling company rather, and an upcoming independent wrestling show as well. So if you want to skip ahead, just a few, like maybe a minute or so, I just wanted to bring something up real quick. But a few weeks ago, this was, I think, May the 4th, New South had their show Bunkhouse Stampede, and there was a big title change on that show. Tyler Franks became the new South champion. Now, I don't know how this went down. I know that they're promoting him heavily on social media with that title belt, and he has upcoming title defenses that are already scheduled. So that's why I'm, you know, talking about this, you know, on the show, because it's one of those things where that's a big downside of New South at the moment, in my opinion, is that they tape their shows and then air them so much later, like after, you know, and by so much later, that's relative, of course, right? But usually it's like a month or so out. And in my opinion, that's just too long in today's, you know, landscape of independent wrestling, especially when you have platforms like IWTV, Triller TV Plus, and all these other, you know, YouTube is another good one for live. You do, some places run off Twitch. You have a lot of people do them, or a lot of companies rather do them off of their own personal websites now. And a lot of this stuff is live or taped and aired pretty much right away, like same week and stuff like that. So New South used to do more of that, and they used to be more on like IWTV and stuff, but I don't know, you know, and I want to speak to that too much, because I'm a big fan of their company, and I'm just saying, as a fan, it'd be nice if this would have aired already, because I've already talked about it by now. But anyways, I wanted to give a big shout out to Tyler Franks, who is the New South champion now. Once again, I don't know how this went down, because it hasn't aired still, but I saw some pictures, and it didn't look like Braden Toon was in the ring. So I don't know if this was like a multi-man match. I saw there was a wrestler who was laying face down in the ring, and I couldn't tell who it was. It looked like maybe like Kerry Off or someone. It was a picture that like it was barely you could have a view of who else was in the ring, but it didn't look like Braden Toon, who was the New South champion. Also worth mentioning that New South is setting up Tyler Franks versus Cabana Man Dan for the New South Championship soon. So that's going to be a banger. Cabana Man Dan, probably recognized as one of, if not the, you know, faces of New South. And when I think of that championship, that giant title belt, he's like the first person I usually think of. So I like that they're setting that up. And for people who don't know, Tyler Franks used to be all beef Tyler Franks. He is now all business Tyler Franks. But Tyler Franks used to be in a tag team. Like when I first discovered Tyler Franks years ago, he was in a tag team in New South called the Talladega Knights, and his tag team partner was Hunter Drake. Hunter Drake has since then gone on to become the New South champion himself, also making waves and doing a lot of stuff in GCW lately and all over the independent scene. Hunter Drake has had a pretty big come up in recent years, and Tyler Franks has been kind of right there with him, but a little more under the radar until recently. And now it's kind of like his turn as the New South champion, which is really cool. I'm happy to see, but I'm a huge Braden Toon fan, sorry, a huge Braden Toon fan, and I wanted to see a longer run from him, so I don't know what happened there. So I'm interested to watch this show when it airs, but once again, I wanted to start the show off before we even get into the actual topics for today by giving a shout out and congratulations to Tyler Franks on becoming the new New South champion. That once again happened on May the 4th at Bunkhouse Stampede, and I'll let y'all know when I find out that it's airing. I'll keep y'all in the loop. Moving on, we're going to go ahead and get into the actual topics, which included some massive, massive news for the future of Game Changer Wrestling and their main world championship. We're going to start off with GCW Take a Picture results. Both GCW shows, as well as, I mean, let's see, depending on what order I do these results in, one, two, three, four, five, like the next like five shows that we're talking about, all available on Triller TV Plus. I'm not endorsed or sponsored to tell you guys to go sign up for Triller TV Plus. I am endorsed slash sponsored by IWTV. I'll tell y'all when to use that code, which I will do in a little bit for those results. But for IWTV, once again, sponsored or whatever, Triller TV Plus, I always wanted to preface that by saying, like, I'm not trying to sell y'all on anything. I have no benefit to have you guys go over and sign up for Triller TV Plus, but I think that if you listen to this show especially, we cover so much from that, subscription package, and it's only like $8 a month or whatever. Like I got in when it was like $5 a month, $4.99 or whatever when they announced it years back. So I mean, for $8 a month or whatever it is, it's incredible value, especially if you're a fan of GCW really or any of this stuff that I'm going to talk about these next five shows. Anyway, that all said, Triller TV Plus is where you can watch this. It's GCW Take a Picture 2024. This took place out of Chicago, Illinois, and these are the results. Had Injustice, the team of Jordan Oliver and Myron Reed, defeating Bangin' Matthews, the former Bang Bros, August Matthews and Davey Bang. This is cool to see Jordan Oliver and Myron Reed teaming more often in GCW. They're going to have a big match in the next show that we're going to cover as well. But Oliver and Reed, for those of you who might not know, they were a tag team for quite a while in MLW called Injustice. So it's cool to see them as a tag team in GCW, and I'd like to see them as a tag team really more on the indies when available. But Oliver also, I want to see a big singles run out of him. He had that great run with the JCW Championship. He's already been, a GCW tag team champion with Nick Wayne as, of course, the East-West Express. So, I want to see Jordan Oliver targeting the main GCW World Championship personally. And Myron Reed, he's always got his thing going on with the Rascals, and himself as a singles guy, Young Goat, Hot Fire, whatever you want to call him. I am a longtime fan of his as well. So I like the two of them together and separately, but we'll talk a little bit more about them because they had a really big title match on the next show. Once again, Injustice over Bangin' Matthews. The finish here was, I don't know if they named this tag team finisher, but basically Jordan Oliver does an acid bomb from the corner and Myron catches with a cutter out of midair for the three count. After that, we had Megan Bain over Allie Catch. Megan Bain having a pretty solid run right now. We'll talk about her a little bit more in the next set of results as well. But I think I saw some, I think I saw some rumors that she's going to be signing to AEW, which I'm not positive if I saw that or not. I don't want to like, Don't take my word as fact on this show. Hardly ever, when it comes to like news and stuff. I stay very loosely in the loop on the stuff going on. A lot of the time I'm just scrolling my phone or I see like an email or something, through Fightful Select. But I want to say that I saw something recently about Megan Bain potentially going to AEW soon. So, and it would make sense. I mean, she gets two pretty huge victories in GCW this weekend. After that, we had Joey Janela over Pero. They're continuing to build. Well, I'll talk more about Joey after I talk about the results for the next show. Why should we know? I'll do it here because, yeah, I'll talk about it now. Okay, so we found out during this weekend, during GCW, that Blake Christian, the GCW world champion, who's been the champion for like a year now, he is no longer the champion. He's been stripped of the title by Matt Cardona because he's going to be doing New Japan. I think he's doing Super Juniors. And because he's not going to be able to make it to the Cage of Survival Tournament of Survival Weekend, he is just getting stripped of the championship. At first, I felt like there was going to be like more to this and they were going to like reverse it, or Brett Lauderdale was going to like say that like this wasn't going down this way. But Brett wound up coming out on commentary along with Cardona during I think it was during Janela's match. And as they were talking on the commentary desk, like Lauderdale essentially conceded the power to Cardona to make that decision. Now, this whole thing is a little strange because Lauderdale himself says that Cardona basically made himself the GM, but he's still like abiding by the decisions that Cardona is making. Although it is very entertaining, him doing the whole, he's basically promoting how the WWF back in the day would promote stuff, and he's using a lot of WWE tropes in those kind of things. Cardona and Jimmy Lloyd and like the stuff that they're doing and like the matches that they're making and the sayings that they're using and stuff like that. They're basically being, it's actually in certain ways, it's kind of similar to the WTF story that, going on in MLW, kind of to a loose degree. But that all said, Blake Christian is no longer the champion. So I got quite a bit I need to talk about when it comes to this. And I didn't know the best route of doing this because this is like right in the middle of these results. But this is the biggest news coming out of the weekend, especially when it comes to GCW. The biggest news coming out of the weekend, of course, obviously we had, I didn't even mention at the top of the show, we had AEW Double or Nothing, which is an awesome show. We had WWE King and Queen of the Ring, which I thought was fantastic. I thought both shows knocked it out of the park. I'll talk about both those shows this upcoming Thursday on the Spotlight on Fightful on the main channel over on YouTube with Jeremy. That'll be 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. The plan for the guest, by the way, is this dude Deporticus, who is a YouTuber, and I found some videos of his. He became a WWE fan like a year ago when he watched WrestleMania 39, and since then he has not missed one Raw or SmackDown. He's been to like a lot of the live events and stuff. He's been to pay-per-views, house shows, everything in between, and he does a lot of YouTube videos now, like talking about, being a newer fan, his perspective on stuff over the last year, and stuff like that. And I like his perspective on, the WWE and pro wrestling, as once again, as like a newer fan, but already a hardcore fan of the product. So, look out for that. Once again, that'll be this Thursday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, Spotlight on Fightful, myself and Jeremy Lambert. That all said, okay, as far as the GCW stuff and the title stuff goes, there have been many missed opportunities, unfortunately, with the Blake Christian title run. He did a great job of going over like the span of like the last year, really close to like the span of the last 2 years. He has done a great job of getting the fans to go from cheering him, especially because he's such a great in-ring performer. They went from cheering him to despising him. He did a really good job of that. I think as a character, he evolved massively. His look, everything has evolved and changed. I think that Blake Christian, all things considered, I think he was a really good GCW world champion. But they had so many missed opportunities where they could have put the belt on somebody else, and it totally would have made sense. It would take the next hour of this show of me going, instance by instance of like when they could have taken the belt off him and like made the next person and everything would have made sense and they didn't do it. Obviously the biggest example of this is Joey Janela's Spring Break, the most recent example. I mean, you had the opportunity right there to have Janela defeat Blake, and instead they did the swerve with Missy Hyatt. And I feel like this weekend they were gonna have Janela defeat Blake Christian anyways. And I've said it 1,000 times. I think Mance Warner is winning the title soon anyways, and I think it's gonna happen right after Joey Janela wins the title. And if it didn't happen for Janela, it would have happened right after maybe Effie won the title, if that was gonna happen. But I really have this gut feeling, and I still think it's gonna go down this way. I think Effie's gonna beat Mance Warner at Cage of Survival, and then I think so what they're going to do, I'm getting ahead of myself, what they're going to do is a gauntlet match, and Joe Janela has earned his way into being the last entrant in the gauntlet match. We don't know how many people are going to be in the gauntlet. We don't know who all is going to be involved in this. There's going to be a gauntlet for the championship, and all we really know is that Joe Janela is going to be the last one in. But once again, I think that Effie beats Mance Warner, and then I think Joe Janela wins this gauntlet. Or would have defeated Blake Christian. They should have just done all this at Spring Break, and then Mance Warner comes out and cashes in his guaranteed title shot at the end of the show, right after Janela wins the title. So even though Effie would have won the feud over Mance Warner, Mance still leaves as the heel champion, and then you still have Cole Radrick lurking out there with the brass ring, which guarantees him a title shot at any championship in GCW. Obviously, there's a lot of speculation about him and Alec Price as the Garbage Daddies cashing in against Violence is Forever for the tag titles. Or maybe, if a team ever beats Violence is Forever, Garbage Daddies would cash in on them. Who knows? I still feel like Cole should use the opportunity at the world title. Nothing against Alec. I love Alec. We're actually going to talk about Alec in a second. We'll talk about him quite a bit on the show. But that said, that's where I think they're heading with all this, and I think that they could have done all of this once again at Spring Break. They didn't need to wait for Tournament Survival Weekend or for the Cage of Survival show to do these title changes. I think they kind of did the Missy Hyatt swerve for the sake of doing a swerve, and they should have just went through with putting the belt on Janela, especially if they're going to take the belt right off him. Now, I could be totally wrong about that, and I think that Joey could have a good long-term title reign with the belt. He's already one of the main faces of GCW, of that entire brand. You think of that GCW brand, those three letters. Basically, think of Nick Gage and Joey Janela. They just put way too much stock into Mance Warner, and they even have Emil introduce him for his matches as the future GCW World Champion. So I just feel like the plans are already there for Mance to do this. It'd be pretty wild if there was a scenario where like Cole cashed in on someone and then like Mance cashed in on Cole or something like that. Because you basically have two money in the banks floating out there essentially right now at the same time. But that's my thoughts on all that. Once again, I want to give all the credit in the world to Blake Christian. Had a great run with the title, had a lot of great matches, really established himself as just a dickhead heel. A lot of the match finishes were really unsatisfying, unfortunately, because they'd be like these banger matches where he'd be getting his ass kicked, and then it'd just be like one low blow and a curb stomp, 1, 2, 3. But when he would go out there and, he still could go out there and put on bangers, you know what I mean? He could still go out there and hit crazy springboard moves, and he puts together combinations unlike a lot of pretty much anyone else out there. Like, he's super innovative and talented. He just puts a lot of that kind of on the back burner as a heel, because he's not trying to get cheered. But when he needs to use that stuff, he's still fantastic in the ring. So, but once again, none of this is on Blake Christian as far as like the booking decisions to not take the title off of him up to this point. Like, they had plenty of chances once again to make plenty of people that would have totally made sense. And instead, we're in a position where they've now stripped him of the championship, which, when he comes back, is he just gonna get a title shot right away? Is he gonna be in the gauntlet? Well, I shouldn't say in the gauntlet. That's the whole reason he's not gonna be at the show. But, some sort of swerve where we see, Blake Christian sometime soon anyways, and he gets the title back. Or is there an issue between himself and GCW that I don't know about, or that the fans don't know about? And, we've seen crazier things happen, right? We saw guys like RSP and Atticus Kogar completely disappear, who were like integral in so many of the major storylines for up to that point for years. It was just like poof, gone. Alex Colon, poof, gone. Same kind of thing, for various different reasons. I'm not putting blame on one person or the other in any of these instances. I'm just saying, I have no idea. For all I know, that's the last last we've seen of Blake Christian in GCW, for all I know. So, that said, Joey Janela, I do expect to win the gauntlet, but I do think that Mance Warner is going to cash in and leave Cage of Survival and at TOS Weekend as GCW World Champion. Moving on to more results from this show, I'll move on kind of quickly here. We had Micro Man over Broski Jimmy. Micro Man with another win with the running double stomp into the Vader bomb, continues to be undefeated in a GCW ring and one of the most over people in the company. I understand in a lot of ways you got to suspend your disbelief when you see a lot of this, but the way that he moves around and the way that the wrestlers like prop him up and get him in the right spots, like it isn't all on the other wrestler. It's like in certain ways, and there I hope people don't take this the wrong way. In certain ways, I bet it's a lot of ways is like wrestling Yoshihiko, where like for like Micro Man, like you're picking him up and like throwing him into the positions he needs to be in. But unlike Yoshihiko can't move at all. So like that's completely 100% on one person to have a match against Yoshihiko. For those of you who don't know, Yoshihiko is a giant doll. It's funny because like Micro Man, like the referee has to like put Micro Man up into the ring. Half these moves, Micro Man can't hit unless somebody picks them up and puts them like in position to do the move. But then from there, it's on Micro Man to execute, and he's able to do that. You know what I mean? So once again, I'm a big fan of what he's doing. It's incredible how over he is, and he is the smallest wrestler I've ever seen wrestle. Quote unquote, like average size, or I didn't say average size people, because like a lot of these people in the pro wrestling business are not just quote unquote normal sized people. They are like big people. You know what I mean? And Micro Man's able to go out there and entertain the fans, and I got nothing but respect for the guy. Whenever I hear that Welcome to the Jungle song, I get hyped up. And I love seeing the crowd reactions to the guy. So once again, I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. A lot of his stuff goes viral on the internet with like non-wrestling fans. Like they see it and they're like, what the hell is going on? But it's also pro wrestling, you know what I mean? And Micro Man's out there killing it. So, we'll talk a little bit more about him. He had another match the next night. And by the way, I hope that didn't come off the wrong way again, like comparing Micro Man to Yoshihiko. But I think you'll understand the comparison I'm making there as far as like, it would be literally impossible for Micro Man to do like half of his moveset unless the other person was helping put him in position to do those moves. After that, we had my favorite tag team in the world. We had the GCW Tag Team Championship on the line. Violence is Forever, Dominic Greene and Kevin Koo defeat Los Desperados, the team of Latigo and Arez. The finish here, if I remember correctly, was Chasing the Dragon for the three count. But I mean, I love these guys. And MLJ, both nights, got to give him mad credit on this. Both nights, MLJ did the VIF intro and finished the intro right as the chorus for the Cranberries zombie song, the VIF theme song, was doing, so the crowd could all sing with it. Perfectly timed, did it both nights. They need to make that a regular thing. Because that'd be literally my only critique that I have of Violence is Forever at all, and it's not even their fault, is a lot of the time when they'd come out for their matches up to this point in GCW and in other companies as well, this happens a lot. They kind of get to the ring quickly, so their entrance is over before the chorus even starts, and that's the most fun part of their entrance, I feel like, is that you can sing that song all together. And it also, I'm a big Korean Zombie fan from the UFC days of the Korean Zombie, Chan Sung Jung, and that was his iconic theme music, so it has kind of a double meaning for me when I hear that theme song. I'm such a big fan of Zombie, and I'm such a big fan of Greeny and Koo. And it was a thing in the UFC also to sing that song, so it's like it's really cool that they have that opportunity to use that as a part of like their whole presentation. And a lot of the time, like they get to the ring and the song would just cut off before it even got to that because their entrance would be too fast. Now they've got it nailed down to a T with Emil, which is going to be great for everybody. Love seeing it. Once again, VIF retains there. And for what it's worth, I know we're going to talk about them a little bit more in the next results, but for my money, I know I'm biased, but you know, I was in center stage when VIF won the tag team championships from Los Mestizos, and since then they have had the most successful title defenses of any GCW tag team as far as like consecutive title defenses in one reign. I'm going to say it: best GCW tag team champions of all time. You know, prove me wrong. If not, prove me wrong. I know there's other examples out there you can give. I think Los Mestizos would be probably the most debated tag team that you could throw out there from GCW because of all of their title runs. But this one run for VIF, I'll put that over really anything else, in my opinion. And they retained in Punjabi Prison. I mean, come on. After that, we had Kylie Rae over Dark Sheik. Good to see Kylie Rae just like back on a more regular basis. And Dark Sheik, ironclad, good to go. No matter what happens going forward, Dark Sheik is you know, made in GCW. Took another L the next day as well, but once again, doesn't matter. Had a good match. After that, we had the Rejects, the team of John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley, over Nick Gage and Zilla Fatu. The finish of this one was it was like a low blow schoolboy roll up with the tights by Murdoch to Zilla. I don't want to talk too much about all these because their next set of GCW results will probably wind up talking about some of these people again. But you know, the Rejects, former GCW tag team champions as well. We had Danhausen over Speedball Mike Bailey. The main theme in this match was Danhausen kept cursing Speedball, and it was actually working. Like, it made Speedball mess up a whole bunch of moves, a bunch of botches that led to Danhausen winning. He eventually did the you know, the teeth in the mouth, kick to the face, go to teeth, GTS, GTT, whatever you want to call it, for the 3 count onto Speedball. After that, we had Mance Warner over Cole Radrick. This just continued on the blood feud that I've already kind of touched on between Effie and Mance Warner. One thing I haven't mentioned is, you know, the last couple weeks, Effie has not been allowed to make any physical contact with Mance Warner. So it's allowing Warner all these opportunities to freely attack other members of the SGC and other friends of Effie. And Cole Radrick is one of those people. The finish of this one was an impaler DDT onto I think it was onto a chair. But Cole had been like hit with a screwdriver and stuff. If you couldn't tell, by the way, I don't even have notes in front of me this show. I just have like the winners and losers were like the results in front of me, but I didn't have time actually today to have all my notes as normal because I've actually got some Memorial Day stuff going on this afternoon. But that said, Mance Warner continues, you know, to beat down Cole, and the next night Mance will be wrestling Cole's partner, Alec Price. And the main event of the show, we had Dralistico over Ringo Loco in just, you know, a banger of a lucha contest. And that was Dralistico's GCW debut match, I believe. And huge win to get that over Ringo Loco, who's, you know, cemented himself as kind of like the premier luchador that's there consistently for GCW. Moving on, got more GCW results. We got GCW Paranoid. The show took place on May 26th. It's also available on Triller TV Plus, and this was from Columbus, Ohio. Show started off with Los Desperados, the team of Jerez, Gringo Loco, and Latigo, to defeat Bangin' Matthews as well as Cole Radrick. Cole is all taped up, his head's all taped up and bandaged because of the attack the previous night by Mance Warner. The finish of this one was somewhat of a botch. It was kind of crazy. It was like Latigo and Arez, like, I can't remember who they lifted up. It might have been Cole because he was so beat up. But they lift someone up, and Gringo comes off the top with like kind of like a moonsault, but it wasn't timed right. But anyway, if you want to check it out, check it out. The actual match was great between these six dudes, but the finish wasn't how it was supposed to go down. After that, we had Megan Bain over Dark Sheik. Kind of service to both the points I made about both of them already. Megan Bain, two huge victories this weekend. in GCW over Ali Catch and Dark Sheik. Dark Sheik, obviously, as I mentioned, ironclad in the company. But I'd imagine they'll be getting on their winning ways again soon. So that we have the Rejects, the team of John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley, over to Infinity and Beyond, the team of Cheech and Colin Delaney. And I always say, yes, that Colin Delaney, the same one that was in WWECW back in the day. We had Microman over Kevin Blackwood. Another great match. I mean, Microman went out there and killed it. Blackwood had an answer this time for the double stomp to Vader bomb combo. He actually blocked it initially, but eventually did get hit with it. This match was like 7 minutes long. I think the night before was like five. So you get Microman in there for like between 5 and 8 minutes usually or whatever, goes out there, hits all his stuff and kills it. Or you put him out there in like a scramble match and have him do just wild stuff to everyone. And those are the ones that usually go really viral, is when like Microman knocks out like, you know, five people at once or whatever. After that, we had one called Manders over Braden Toon, Isaiah Broner, and Joshua Bishop in a four-way match. I like this one a lot because I'm a huge fan of all four of these dudes. All big guys who can all move, who all have a lot of unlimited untapped potential still. Josh Bishop hit two Bishop bombs in this one that looked really nice. Manders eventually got the win with a really nice inside-out clothesline. You know, I say it all the time, one of these companies eventually is going to make big money with Joshua Bishop. I don't know, you know, I don't know what his current status with MLW is. I know he's still doing stuff with them, but I don't know if he's like signed to them since the last time we talked or anything like that. But I think that, Bishop is just money, and he's kind of been like kind of floating there for a minute. And like all these companies, we'll get to some of the other results here that he's involved in over the weekend. But I just feel like one of these days it's going to be like Joshua Bishop's going to pop up on AEW or WWE or NXT or whatever, and like he's going to make a massive impact immediately, or maybe even Impact, TNA. I think he would become a top guy there instantly. Broner, we're going to talk more about here shortly. He had a big title defense at AIW, put his title on the line. How did that go? We're about to talk about it. Braden Toon, I talked about a little bit before. I'm a huge fan of his. I love, like, for a guy his size, you know, you just don't expect him to be able to move the way he does, but he's super athletic, super innovative. He's a guy who can pick you up and toss you over his head or hit, you know, running, shooting star press, you know what I mean? And then Manders, one of the most established guys in the game, the current action wrestling champion. And what more can I say about Manders? Of course, been heavily involved in this whole story between Mance Warren and Effie as well. After that, we had the GCW Tag Team titles on the line. VIF, Bounces Forever, Dominic Green and Kevin Koo defend and retain their titles over Injustice, Myron Reed, and Jordan Oliver. This match was awesome, as you'd expect between these four. Literally four of the best wrestlers in the world right now, in my opinion. VIF with the win with the Chase and the Dragon for the three count. After that, we had Trish Adora over Haley Dillon. Always love hearing it. I love Adora's walkout music. I love like the Lion King like intro sounds and stuff like that. The Lariat Tubman for the win there. After that, we had the Unsanctioned Pro Heavyweight title on the line. Charlie Tiger defends and retains over Big Beef, Jeffrey John, and the Swinger. Charlie Tiger really having a good run right now. He's been kind of like under the, I want to say like in the shadow, but like, you know, he's been a part of Young, Dumb, and Broke with Jordan Oliver for a really long time. And Tiger's really breaking out as a singles star, especially in Unsanctioned Pro. So good to see him be able to do that in a GCW ring. After that, we had Effie over Broski Jimmy. Once again, you know, Broski Jimmy's out there killing it with this whole Cardona follower thing that he's doing. I think it's working really well. I'm a huge Jimmy Lloyd fan, so this massive change in character, I didn't know how this was going to go, but it's going really well, in my opinion. I think this was initially supposed to be a tag team match, or maybe Effie versus Step the Lander or something like that, but nonetheless, this was good stuff. Effie getting the W there, and the main event of the show, we had Alec Price and Mance Warner go to a no contest. This is one of Alec Price's best performances in his career, and this is coming from somebody who's a massive Alec Price fan that likes literally every one of his matches. Whether it's a scramble match, a tag team match, a singles match, whatever, Alec Price always delivers, no matter what the company is. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think he should have won the JCW J Cup this year. A lot of what happened here was like Alec almost defeating Mance over and over and over again. He looked great here. You can tell the GCW's got big plans for Alec Price and Cole Radrick as well. Like that, both garbage daddies, I think, have super bright futures. A lot of this, well, the no contest, let me just mention that basically the reason the no contest happened is because Alec just kept getting the upper hand on Mance, and eventually Mance just punched the referee in the face and then just started attacking with the screwdriver. He hits Alec in the head with the screwdriver, makes him bleed, starts beating him down. Effie's on commentary. He can't come out and do anything about it because if he touches him or gets involved, then the match is off this weekend at Cage Survival. So Effie eventually gets in Mance's face, but it's too late. And all the build is there. It's all happened. We are coming up this weekend on, the huge blood feud, hopefully the blow off of this whole thing. It's been going on a long time. But I feel like in Cage of Survival, Effie's going to finally defeat Mance Warner. As I keep saying, I think Mance Warner is still going to leave as the champion. Moving on, got results for AIW. This is Gauntlet for the Gold 17. This show took place out of Cleveland, Ohio, and also available on Triller TV Plus. This was from May 24th, and these are the results. Started off with the AIW tag team titles on the line. A money shot. The team of Elijah Dean and Zach Nystrom defend and retain their belts over to Infinity and Beyond. Cheech and Kondalaini. We had a four-way match where Alec Price defeated Dex Royal, Marina Tenaglia, and Mikey Montgomery. Once again, I mean, Alec Price out there just killing it everywhere. Big fan of all four of those guys, though. And it's cool seeing like Marino and Mikey doing some more single stuff, and we'll talk about some of their partners and more about them just in general throughout the rest of this weekender. We had Joshua Bishop over Sam Holloway, Wes Barkley over Derek Dillinger, Shawn Mason, Tom Lawler, and Tyler Jordan over Sydney Von England, Zay Garcia, and Dominic Guarini in a six-person tag match. We had the AIW Intense title on the line. Eric Taylor defends and retains over Philly Collins. So Eric Taylor, as I mentioned, like I've talked about Mikey Montgomery, him and Eric Taylor were a longtime tag team called the Bitcoin Boys. Eric Taylor has gone on to have a lot of single success in AIW with his stable with Elijah Dean, Zach Nystrom, the Duke, and some of the stuff we're about to talk about here shortly. But Eric Taylor had a big come up with the Intense Championship, and Mikey Montgomery is looking to kind of like get over that next hump of stardom himself. But I was a fan of both Bitcoin Boys, and I like them as singles guys too. Marino, on the other hand, his partner is Philly Collins, who I was just mentioning before. So it's like you had one half of the former Bitcoin Boys versus one half of the current PME. And of course, Philly Collins had Bill Alfonso in the corner for him. We had the AIW Absolute title on the line. Isaiah Broner loses the title. Huge title change. Chuck Stone is the new AIW Absolute Champion. The way this goes down is the Duke comes out to the ring, throws a boot in the ring, force Chuck Stone. Chuck Stone reaches into the boot and grabs a pair of brass knuckles. Isaiah Broner grabs the boot. The referee takes the boot from Broner, and while he's distracted, Chuck Stone hits Isaiah Broner in the head with the brass knuckles, and then he finishes up with a powerbomb backbreaker for the 1-2-3. Chuck Stone is your new AIW Absolute Champion. For those of you who may not know, the Absolute Championship is essentially the world heavyweight title of AIW. After that, we had Matt Cross over Josh Prohibition. I think this was labeled as the last time these two will ever wrestle one another. I remember both of these guys. The first time I saw either of these or knew about either of these guys existing was the Backyard Wrestling video games back on like the PS2, and I think they might have been on the Dreamcast or like the Xbox also. But I definitely had it on the PS2. I remember Matt Cross as M-Dog, Josh Prohibition. I mean, this is wild that the two of them are still wrestling at all, and the fact that they're still wrestling each other in 2024 is pretty mind-blowing. And the main event of the show, we have the Gauntlet for the Gold. The Duke winds up winning this thing. Essentially, what winds up happening is the feed actually cut off towards the end of this match on Triller. But Bishop and so the final four are Josh Bishop, Ethan Page, the Duke, and Isaiah Broner, who had just lost the title 2 matches ago to Chuck Stone. The winner of this match gets a shot at the Absolute Championship. So Bishop and Ethan, I think Bishop eliminated Ethan, and then Ethan got back in and eliminated Bishop or something like that. But that part of the show unfortunately got cut off. But we see Bishop and Ethan Page brawling to the back, and the only people left in the ring are the Duke and Isaiah Broner. And eventually, the Duke is able to Broner gets distracted on the outside, and the Duke, tosses him over the top. And then after the match, we basically find out that the plan all along, because the Duke helped Chuck Stone, and Chuck Stone comes out and hugs the Duke, and he's in the ring with this whole group. And I essentially, to make a long story short, their plan is for the Duke, now that he's got the number one contendership, the title defense coming up, he is just like, they're just gonna phone it in. Like, Chuck Stone's not gonna have to do anything. The Duke's basically just gonna lay down for him or whatever, right? But we then find out that at the next show, I think like a month from now, it's gonna be the Duke versus Isaiah Broner. And if Broner wins, that number one contendership is on the line. So we get the rematch between Broner and Chuck Stone for the title, which is what I expect to happen. So big title change once again on AIW, and your gauntlet for the gold winner for this year is the Duke. Moving on, got results for HOG, House of Glory. This is going to be two sets of results, both available on Triller TV Plus. Shout out to some of the people there on commentary, like JD from NY. I know he's not everyone's cup of tea. Not always my cup of tea either, but a prominent figure in the YouTube wrestling community nonetheless. And a massive shout out to the Saw Monster, Jason Solomon, who is one of my favorites in the game, has been for a long time. And he's also on commentary for Hog, House of Glory. These are all the results for this weekend. We had the Cruiserweight Championship on the line. Gringo Loco defeats Casey Navarro to become the new champion. Gets one with the base bomb for the three count. If you want to know more about what Casey's been up to lately and just know more about Casey in general, check out Fightful just had an interview with Casey Navarro. I believe it was Corey Brennan, I think, on Fightful Overbooked. So if you want to check that out, go support that. And yeah, once again, bringing a local with another big win and some more title belts to his resume. We got a six-person tag match where AJ Francis, Jay Bougie, and Ken Broadway defeat Big Game Leroy, Encore, and Joey Silver. We had Jody Aura over Michael Fain, who had Blackman in their corner. Rina Dorada and Sexy Star defeat Diamond Virago and the Ultraviolet in a tag team match. We had the Hog Crown Jewel title on the line. Carlos Ramirez defends and retains over Nolo Catano. We had a six-person tag match where Amazing Red and the main event team of Midas Black and Jay Lyon defeat the Cold-Blooded Killers, the team of Charles Mason, J. Armani, and Raheem Royal. And the main event of the show, we had the HOG heavyweight title on the line. Mike Santana defends and retains over Matt Riddle. The finish of this one was really nice. Both guys are going back and forth with submission attempts, striking exchanges, some chops, knees, stuff like that, some suplex attempts. But they're just going kind of move for move, back and forth, reversal for reversal. And Santana eventually, he throws his elbow pad off real quick and hits a discus lariat for the three count. More sets of results for House of Glory. We have Glory of War 2024. This show took place on May 25th, also available on Triller TV Plus. This is from Lowell, Massachusetts. Show started off with the HOG heavyweight title on the line. Mike Santana defends and retains over JT Dunn. The finish of this one was similar kind of to the night before. Dunn went for a cutter, and Santana quickly throws his elbow pad off and hits a discus lariat for the three count. For that, we had a seven-way scramble match where Aaron Rourke defeated Darren Richardson, Joey Silver, Mortar, Ricky Smokes, Richie Roach, and Smooth Blackman. We had the HOG Crown Jewel title on the line and also the LPW heavyweight title on the line in a double title match. Carlos Ramirez defends and retains the Crown Jewel title while also winning the LPW heavyweight title from Aegis Jackson. We had the HOG women's title on the line in a four-way match. The Ultraviolet defends and retains over Diamond Virago, Sexy Star, and Arena Dorada. These are the women, of course, from the night before in the tag team match. We had Ken Broadway over Encore, Charles Mason over Nolo Catano. We had a tag team match for the tag team titles of HOG. Main event, Midas Black and Jay Lyon defend and retain their belts over the Cold-Blooded Killers combination of Jay Armani and Raheem Royal. In the main event of the show, we had Mustafa Ali over Alec Price in an absolute banga. Finish here was Alec Price getting hit with a German suplex off the top rope by Ali. It's like a top rope German suplex onto the ring apron. And then Ali rolls Price into the ring and hits a 450 splash off the top rope to his back and pins him. Fantastic matchup, as you'd expect from both guys. If you want to check out all of those shows I just went over from GCW, AIW, and HOG, all available right now on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got some results for TWE. This is Sink or Swim. Total Wrestling Entertainment out of Chattanooga, one of my favorite independent wrestling companies, especially here in the Southeast. This show was live on May 25th, available on IWTV. Use code FIGHTTALK. If you use that code, it lets the platform know that it sent you their way. Really appreciate that. Took place out of Red Bank, Tennessee, from the TWE Arena, the famous TWE Arena. And these are the results. We had Jake Murphy over Will Steele, Jaden Newman over Sean Campbell, Eden Monroe defends and retains their Gig City title over Mackenzie Morgan. We had Tim Bosby over Tyler Franks. Hardway Heater over Azrael. Speaking of Azrael, I think I saw Boston Nuga, Ben, I think I saw him tweeting something the other night about Azrael throwing like the best working punches of anyone he's ever seen or something like that. So got to give respect there where it's due. We had a barefoot hillbilly scrufflin' brawl where Big Dave defeated Casey Owens. We had Anakin Murphy, who's very over in the TWE arena, over Shug D, who's very hated. We had the TWE tag team titles on the line. Totally Shook, the team of Jameson Shook and a Totally Plastic Finesse. They defend and retain over the Squatting Dragons team of Aaron Wade and Cody Manhorn. After the match, Aaron Wade says some really disrespectful stuff to Cody, and Cody tackles him and fights him, and the Squatting Dragons have officially imploded. Looking forward to a long-term singles feud between the two of them. Those are two guys, by the way, who were trained by TWE, and Cody Manhorn, of course, also referee Shiny Shoes. Both guys having a lot of early success in their career, but I've looking forward to seeing what's next for both these guys, because Aaron Wade also has already punched his ticket to the SCI tournament, so a lot going on in the future for those both of them, so I'm looking forward to that feud. In the main event of the show, we had the TWE title on the line in a three-way hardcore match. Darian Benston defends and retains over Brett Eisen and Tank. After the match, Darian gets on the microphone and basically talks about how even though he's the champion of this company, he's still overlooked, no matter who he beats, name after name after name after name, all these people that mean a lot in that building. It just, he's still not getting the credit he deserves, but the fans are definitely into it. You know what I mean? Like, he's very over with that crowd, and they're cheering for him at the end of this show. So I don't remember if TWE already has their next title defense for him lined up or if they've announced it yet. I'd imagine it'll be a singles match against either Brett or Tank. But either way, or maybe him and Jaden, I don't know. But there's a lot of good options there. I'd really like to see him mix it up with anyone I just mentioned on this entire card. Preferably someone who won on this show. But then you also have someone like Tyler Franks, who took an L here, but also, the current New South champion. I'd like to see the New South champion mix it up with the TWE champion, you know what I mean? So a lot of good options there. Once again, check that show out over on independentwrestling.tv. Got some quick results for Action Wrestling's Noonan Fight Club. This took place out of Noonan, Georgia, and this is also available on independentwrestling.tv. It was taped on May 20th. Sorry, it was taped on May 16th. I apologize. Taped on May 16th and aired on May 20th. These are the results. We had the Action Wrestling title on the line. Manders defends and retains over Anakin Murphy. We had Matt Sells over Casey Owens. Bobby Flacco over Jay Lucas. Tyler Stevens over O'Shea Edwards. Adam Priest over Jameson Shook, Cody Manhorn over Gary J. In the main event of the show, we had the IWTV Independent Wrestling World Championship on the line. Cruel defends and retains over Braden Toon. So if you want to check out more Action Wrestling, we talk about them pretty much every week here on the weekend, or to some degree. Either they either have a show going on, or there's performers that we regularly cover from their company on other shows. But nonetheless, support Action Wrestling. Two great title matches here on this show. I mean, Manders, you know, right now establishing himself as the Action Wrestling champion, as he recently won the championship. And, you know, Cruel continues to dominate as the IWTV world champion, getting a big win over former New South champion Braden Toon. Moving on, got results for Glory Pro Ascend episode 37. This show is available completely for free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel, and this premiered on May 19th. These are the results. Show started off with Shaza McKenzie over Rachel Armstrong. The finish here was Shaza bouncing Armstrong's head off of the turnbuckle, following up with a schoolboy roll-up with the feet on the ropes for the added leverage. It's the dirty pin, 1-2-3, Shaza McKenzie with the victory. After that, we had Ethan Price over Jabari King. The finish here was real nice. I think the move when Sean O'Hare did it, I think he called it the Widowmaker. But it's basically like a Death Valley driver, but you go, instead of going like head first to the mat, they go back first to the mat the other direction. So, you know, it looks really impressive because Jabari's a big dude. So like Ethan Price getting him up there looked really, you know, once again, looked really impressive. Jabari sold it great, made Ethan look like $1 million in there getting that victory. So once again, we had Ethan Price over Jabari King with what I'll just call the Widowmaker for the three count. And then the main event of the show, we had the United Glory tag team titles on the line. We had PME defend and retain over Bang and Matthews, the team of August Matthews and Davey Bang. Once again, of course, the former Bang Bros. The finish here is kind of hard to explain, but it was awesome. So the Bang Bros go for Ride the Bus, which is, it's like this rolling double spear that they're known to do, one of their signature moves. Use it as a finisher sometimes as well. But before you can do the roll, they essentially put one another in a doomsday device position, like an electric chair up on their shoulders, sitting on their shoulders. So before they can do the roll for the Ride the Bus, PME hits basically a doomsday Sunset Dreams, their finisher, which is like a 3D flatliner, which looked awesome. And then they hit a regular, so like they hit one of the Bang Bros from the top, and then they hit the second one with a regular Sunset Dreams, 1-2-3, PME retains the titles. Banger, no pun intended with the Bang Bros and all, but banger of a tag team match in title defense for the United Glory Tag Team Champions, the Philly Marino Experience. Once again, that show is available completely for free over on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. Moving on, got results for NXT Level Up. This show aired on May 24th. I watch them on Hulu, so that's where I recommend you check the show out. We had two matches and an interview segment on this episode. Show started off with Jasmine Nix over Lainey Reed. The finish here was a Pele kick for the three count. After that, we had a interview segment where Hank and Tank, Hank Walker and Take Ledger, they're doing an interview where basically like Tank is confused because this isn't a tag team match, but so like single, it's going to be singles match with Tank, but Hank's going to be on the outside, but not on the ring apron, not ready to make a tag. It's like he can't fully comprehend that, you know, that this isn't a tag team match, but the way that this is done is actually done. I like this. I like Hank and Tank a lot. I'm a big fan of their tag team. I'm not saying that ironically. I legitimately think both guys have massive futures in the WWE system. They're a real throwback type of tag team for me. They remind me of kind of old school WCW teams like Disorderly Conduct and High Voltage and stuff like that. They remind me of ECW / WCW / tag team, WWE tag team legends, the Public Enemy. They kind of have those vibes, especially with like some of their ring gear and stuff. I like these guys a lot. Big fans of both of them. And the finish here, well, actually, I'll mention during the match, at one point, Tank goes to try to tag Hank on the outside, which was funny and also played off of, you know, the the interview. The actual main event match was Tank Ledger versus Cale Dixon. I might not even mention that, but we had Tank Ledger over Cale Dixon in the main event of the show. And the finish was a Bubba Bomb, but I don't think he has a name for it, but it was a Bubba Bomb for the three count. Once again, that's NXT Level Up. Really solid for, you know, what it needs to be. And for once again, for like no other reason, like a team like Hank and Tank, if this show didn't exist, I wouldn't know anything about either of these guys. And I legitimately think that they're going to be future Raw or SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Mark my words right now on that. Moving on, got results for NWA Power. This show took place, or I should say, this show aired on May 21st. It's available on the CW app and website. And these are the quick results we got for it here. This was the Crockett Cup first round kicking off. We had Tiffany Nieves and Reika Tahaka over Ruthie J and La Rosa Negra. We had Joe Alonso over Damian Farrar. I like Joe Alonso a lot. He's very talented. He's one of the guys that I think could benefit from the NWA as far as like them just continuing to push him. We had the Crockett Cup first round. Mike Knox and Trevor Murdoch defeat the Miserably Faithful, the team of Gags of Gimp and Salvation. Play on words with that. And the main event of the show, we had another Crockett Cup first round match where the Looks That Kill, the team of Brian Idol and Natalya Markova, they defeat Jack Stain and Tim Storm by disqualification. Basically, what winds up here is Tim Storm has an iron claw on Natalya and just won't let it go, and the referee just has to throw the match out because he just won't release the hold. So that's that. The Crockett Cup, for what it's worth, I don't want to give the spoilers here, but it's already happened. I already know who's going to win this whole tournament, so I don't want to like talk too much about all of this without giving things away because I do want to cover it a little more week by week. So there's that. That was NWA this week, and let me know in the comments, if you're a fan of the NWA, if you ever remain spoiler free, who do you want to see win the Crockett Cup? Who do you think is going to win the Crockett Cup? All right, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. We got Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers, and we're going to go on and get out of here. These are Ring of Honor spoilers from cagematch.net. That's where I'm reading them off of. They are from Las Vegas, Nevada. They were from the Collision tape, right after Collision, or either before or after. I think after Collision. This past Saturday, the night before, they had Double or Nothing. So this is from the MGM Grand, and they were taped on the 25th. They're going to be airing on future episodes of Ring of Honor television. So spoiler alert! Ring of Honor spoilers coming for you right now. We got Top Flight, the team of Dante Martin and Darius Martin, along with Action Andretti on the outside, over the War Horsemen team of Anthony Henry and JD Drake. We got Queen Amanada over Maserati. The Dark Order team of Alex Reynolds, Evil Uno, and John Silver. Shout out Alex Reynolds, by the way, for finally getting his AEW figure coming out. Even though it's a Chase variant, it's probably gonna be hard to find, but I'm glad he's finally getting a figure. He got screwed over when the rest of the Dark Order got figures, and he's waited forever for his. They defeat the Iron Savages team of Boulder and Bronson and Jack Jameson. Shout out to my boy Jack Jameson, as well as the trio of Cole Carter, Griff Garrison, and Johnny TV, who had Taya Valkyrie on the outside for them. Excuse me. We had Shane Taylor Promotions, the team of Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty over Jacoby Watts and Nick Comoroto. Had the ROH World Television Title Proving Ground match. Billy Starks, who's the champion, defeats Zamaya. Title was not on the line. Zamaya did not win, so Starks, does not retain and also doesn't have to defend against Zamaya in the future. And the main event, what it looks like the main event of the tapings, and what I imagine to be based on what I've seen, we have the ROH World TV title on the line. Kyle Fletcher defends and retains over Dalton Castle. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please hit the thumbs up, or not thumbs up, here, hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Hit the like button. Appreciate that when y'all do that. Also, make sure to follow me on X, FightTalk underscore. Use code FightTalk and independentwrestling.tv. And make sure to tune into the Spotlight every Thursday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on the main Fightful YouTube channel. As I mentioned earlier, myself and Jeremy, we always go live, 8:30 a.m. Eastern. We talk the world of wrestling. talk AEW and WWE. So I'll be giving a lot of thoughts on Double or Nothing and King and Queen of the Ring. Also going to have thoughts on the independent scene, other stuff that went on throughout the week, and an interview. Like I mentioned before, the plan is to have Deporticus from YouTube on the show to talk about his fandom. So looking forward to that. I'll talk about his YouTube channel and stuff as well, of course. So please join us for that. And yeah, that's all I've got for you this week. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.